Hello, we are Emma White
and David J. Lilly.
And we're both jewellery designer makers who spend every day surrounded by shiny things.
We're both passionate about jewellery
and love learning all we can about jewellery making and sharing what we've learned with you right here.
Perhaps you're a jewellery lover or a creative type, or you spend your days at the bench like we do.
Whichever it is, we hope you'll enjoy our sparkly chit-chat, our silly stories, and our thoughts on living a creative and slightly dusty life.
With a few laughs along the way.
You can find our podcasts on all your favourite apps, including, of course, the biggies, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts.
So if you want to know who we are and share our passion for all that glitters, then stay with us for the next 30-ish minutes.
This is
Emma
and David with Little Gems on Jewellery
and Life.
Hey, I'm Emma. I'm a 40-something Scottish girl living in Leeds with my husband Richard and my many children. I've been a maker for 20-odd years and I love everything about jewellery, making it, wearing it and teaching others to make it too. I'm loud, occasionally funny, and I'm borderline losing my shit on a daily basis. I mainly chill with an enormous glass of Sauvignon Blanc and a kitchen disco, and I'm pretty much addicted to Instagram stories and Coke Zero.
Hi, I'm David, and I work and live in leafy West Sussex with my fabulous husband, Krish. I've been a jeweller since 2019, when I came to jewellery making by accident. When I'm not making stuff, I can be found at the theatre or cinema, socialising with friends or lazing on the sofa with a large glass of fruity red.
Fab.
Hello, Emma.
Hi, David, how are you?
I'm good, hon, you?
Good, I'm really good, really good. Manic as usual, but hey, nothing new.
So what's the weather like up in your part of the world?
It's beautiful, you know, it's really sunny today. So, so I've just sent Henry off full of hay fever with a big swollen face to school. So, you know, it's...
Poor kid.
Like, yay, it's sunny. Oh no, you can't breathe. So, anyway. So what have you been up to recently?
So I have been working on my Menhir collection.
Mm.
So this is the collection that I started making back in 2019. It was the first jewellery collection that I ever created. And I did quite a lot with it before I kind of got bored with it and moved on. But just lately, I felt like I wanted to kind of do more and look at some of the original pieces and decide whether I still wanted to have them in the collection, because some of them were not made that well.
Right.
Some of them looked definitely dodgy. So it was like, okay, let's not offer these for sale. Let's think about quality rather than just kind of getting it made and getting it out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been really fun to do though, because it's a shape that I really connect with. The shape, weirdly, or the whole idea behind the collection came to me back in 2017, before I even started doing jewellery.
Okay.
Krish and I had been on holiday somewhere, I can't remember, 2017. I think we did Germany. No, we didn't do Germany. We did somewhere, anyway, wherever we were.
Oh, you go so many places, Judith.
I know, jet setting everywhere.
For your holidays.
As if, I wish. We went on a medicine walk.
Oh, wow, what's that?
So medicine walk is where you spend time with yourself, waiting for the answers to a question to come in. And the idea is that you spend time in nature so that connecting with the world around you actually facilitates that in a very kind of grounded way. And so we went over to a place called Saddlescombe Farm, which is just north of Brighton, and met up with probably about a dozen people. We spent the first part of the day just talking in group about, you know, what the question was, why we're here, you know, what we really felt we wanted to get out of the experience. And then we spent the afternoon walking, and we all went off in different directions up onto basically the South Downs, so just north of Brighton. And I went up onto a ridge, and the fantastic views. You could see the sea. It was a lovely day, but it was quite windy. And I was walking east, and the wind was coming off the sea. And I got so far, and I'm thinking, I'm just getting this cold air in my ear and I'm getting a numb ear, which is not the idea.
I shouldn't be... experience you were after.
No, I shouldn't be concentrating on my ear going numb. So I was kind of walking along with a hand up to my ear, which looking like a complete dork. Thankfully there was nobody there, and I got so far and I thought, you know, just turn around and go in the opposite direction. You've been gone about half the time we're meant to be out anyway, and then the other ear can get the air in it. And as I turned round, I could see the brow of the hill, and what I saw immediately looked like Stonehenge.
All right.
But you can't see Stonehenge from Brighton. You just, you know, you can't see it. But I thought, wow, how the hell is that Stonehenge? And I thought, I don't know what it is. It can't be Stonehenge. So walking towards it, I was trying to work out what the hell I was looking at. And when I got close enough, I realised it was a whole bunch of sheep because they kept moving as well.
Not Stonehenge.
Not Stonehenge at all. Fluffyhenge. So I asked myself, what does this mean? You know, why have I thought this?
David, you need new glasses, mate.
Yeah.
You've gone to the Make Savers.
Clearly not, no. So I thought, well, you know, what is it that this is telling me? What's it meant to be? What is the message from this? Is it a message about sheep or is it a message about Stonehenge? And I thought, well, it must be to do with Stonehenge because that's what I saw, or that's what I thought I saw.
Like sheep.
Yeah, Sheephenge. And so after some kind of like humming and hawing as to what it was be, and then we came back into the circle and we talked about our experience and what was that. What came to me actually while we were talking about it in the circle was that it was to do, my work should be, which is what the question I took out with me, monolithic.
Yeah, okay.
And I thought, I took that to mean big, in the right, monoliths okay. tend to be big. And yeah. so that was the idea I took to this. So but then in 2018, when I started working in copper and I did a whole lot of fold forming, which I really fancied doing, I thought, okay, so this work needs to be monolithic. So I started getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And as I got bigger and bigger, I became less enamored with the pieces I was making.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, there's obviously there's a disconnect here, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So I took all the scrap bits that I'd cut off, used the same techniques, yep. but did it in miniature, and suddenly discovered I was making jewellery.
Amazing.
And from that then led me on to thinking, okay, so I'm working in copper. I did that for a couple of months. And I said to Chris, I think I'm going to start doing this in silver. So I started doing it in silver. And weirdly, I didn't use any of the fold forming technique at all.
Mm-hmm.
I tweaked the design, but what came out in that design was a shape that looks like a miniature menhir or standing stone. So that's why I gave that.
Nice. So it kind of came full circle for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's where that design came from. Sorry?
Taking that time out. I mean, I know it's so important to actually just take some time out to allow your creativity. You know, I know I'm very guilty of just like rushing around everywhere and to actually sort of jump off your own hamster wheel, whatever that is. Sounds, you know, amazing to actually listen to yourself.
Yeah, I don't do it often enough. I mean, that was 2017. No. It's now 2022.
Every 5 years.
Yeah.
Must be due another walk. Oh, fab. That sounds great.
So
you've been working on some new pieces on this again. I know you'd mentioned to me before that you were looking to increase kind of your use of gems and working with, you know, different pieces for different parts of the body. And so how's that kind of all coming together?
Well, I've made a lot more earrings. I mean, I've never really connected with earrings. I don't wear earrings, but I've made five sets of earrings now for this collection, where there was only ever one before. And I've really enjoyed doing it. And I have been using a lot more faceted gems. So rose cut, kyanite and chocolate sapphire, African moonstone. And then just lately, the last two pieces that I have made have been what I've called wing rings, because they were also inspired by the shape of the Spirit of Ecstasy, which is the mascot on Rolls Royce.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. I didn't know that, but I can see that now. I love those rings. I think they're ace.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really pleased. So I've done the two. And then the third one, I'm going to turn it round. So rather than the wings being across the finger, they're going to go down the finger.
Okay.
Nice. Which is what Krish suggested. So I've been humming and hawing with some design ideas in my head for that. So
I think you should put a tube in the middle, you know, where it goes around the finger.
Yeah.
I think you should put a tube there. You know how it comes down and you've got your holes either side?
Yeah.
It speaks to me that just needs that like solidity in the center, and that'll just like structure it all off.
Oh, okay.
Idea. I just looked at them the other day and thought, love those. And I was like, I think it'll help you in terms of sizing issues for people as well.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Just make the tube in the size, and then you know you've got the size, and then build everything else around it. Anyway, just
that's a brilliant thought. Idea. Thank you. I'll
a lovely collection, though. I like what you've done with the gold in it as well. You know, introducing that contrast, really lovely. And gems, rose cuts are gorgeous, aren't they? I always keep eyeing them up at the moment. I don't use any rose cuts in any of my work, but we've been using them quite a lot in class, and they are lovely, and they're so versatile.
Yeah. And they are nice and easy to set, you know, compared to faceted gems.
Always a winner. Always a winner.
Definitely. So what have you been up to? What have you been making?
Oh, my God. What have I been making? Jewellery-wise, what have I been up to? So I've been working on all these new designs, which I'm kind of keeping a bit under my hat at the moment. So I have 5 new collections. And
wow.
Yeah, it's great. I'm really loving it, actually. It's really nice because I think it's very easy to get kind of stuck making the same sort of stuff over and over again. Mm-hmm. And there's a part of me that quite enjoys that because I enjoy the making process so much that, you know, there's something very pleasing and soothing about the repetition of that. But I'm not in that place at the moment. At the moment, I'm in a kind of pushing, learning kind of phase.
Right.
So that's exciting. So I've kind of got that going on. And as part of that process, I'm also looking at my work that I've been making for a very long time and making some decisions about letting some stuff go. So it's a bit of a kind of spring cleany kind of thing there. So I've kind of got that going on. And then as well, I've just committed to taking on a new space.
Great.
In Sunnybank Mills, where I'm currently based. So my workshop is a teaching space as well as for me. And we're basically knocking through the back wall into another space. And it's about 500 square foot, the new space.
That's decent size.
So yeah, it's lovely. So it was really exciting because the day before yesterday, I rocked up to the studio and they were putting the walls up because the space that's there currently is huge. So right. I'm just taking a section of it, and they were putting the walls up and they literally got them up in about 3 hours. And I was like, oh my God. So for the first time you could actually see the space, you know? So yesterday I was working on a commission, but in between that I was like bobbing backwards and forwards, and I had some chalk and I was drawing like on the walls where the benches were going to be and on the floor and checking that the spacing is going to work for students and stuff. So yeah, so that's really exciting. So my head's kind of full of that as well, and I'm just trying to make it, I want it to be like a really inclusive space. Like I have a couple of customers that are wheelchair users, so it's really important that it's kind of works for them. So I'm thinking about having sort of different benches at different heights, and I don't know, there's an awful lot to think about. But yeah, so that's probably going to be ready, I think, kind of middle of August.
Okay.
So I started thinking about furniture for it and decor. I've got quite a clear idea of the decor, but some of the finer points I need to confirm them today, actually. So that's what's going on. And alongside all of that, I've also got a commission on the go. It's an anniversary commission. The anniversary is next week, as is always the way. I've been talking about it for months,
mm-hmm.
and all the making happens in the last 5 minutes. That's been really nice because there's elements of that which are kind of a nod to the new work that I've been working on. So
right.
We kind of took the customer's own ring that she liked, which was quite a plain, very wide ring. And we've been working with some of her old gold and made some granules.
Okay.
I mean, it's not strictly speaking granulation, because granulation, you know, the traditional granulation is like tiny, tiny, tiny balls and it's all fused together. And this is more like I actually use solder, and they're slightly like, there's some bigger, some smaller. And I've been setting some teeny, tiny diamonds in some of them. So that's been my challenge this week. So I've spent basically most of this week when I've been at the bench set in teeny tiny diamonds.
Okay.
And I did a couple of the bigger ones. I did a few of the bigger ones, like just with my optimizer on. And then when I got to the smaller ones, I was like, I can't even see these. I I'm 46 now. I can't see these 1.3s anymore. So I swapped on to the bit of kit that you'd recommended to me, the microscope that I'd bought and then sort of set up and then not really played with much. And oh my days, I looked at the settings I'd already done. I was like, oh my days. It's like, you know, you think the soldering's all perfect and then you get your microscope out and you look at it and it looks like the surface of the moon. So, but you know what? It's fab because, you know, you're nothing as a jeweler if you haven't got your eyes, are you really? So
no.
You've got to be able to see. It's pretty fundamental to the job. So now, like, I cleaned up everything and I've been polishing with, because there's only tiny, tiny gaps, you know, like in between, I've actually been polishing it with cocktail sticks.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like in there and I've kind of created my own kind of compound out of pumice powder and Jif, and I'm making my own teeny tiny mops with little scraps of cotton wool. Anyway, I'm going to do a reel about it because I think it's quite interesting and it's
it sounds like it.
Yeah, it is. And it's, you know, it's always that thing with polishing, isn't it? Like getting into like the little bits, into the little areas, and it's really, you know, it's really difficult and always a challenge, you know. And sometimes when I'm designing something, I go, I'd love to do that, and I think, Christ, how am I going to polish it? But I feel like I've kind of found my feet with that a bit more now, so I'm quite excited to get that finished. So I need to finish polishing that today, really, and then tomorrow photograph it, and then they're picking it up probably Monday or Tuesday. So that's what I've been doing technically.
Microscope then has really helped you overcome the problems then.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really think I was having problems, to be fair. So it's just that when I started looking through them, it just makes it so much easier. I mean, so much easier. It's a bit of a faff. I mean, I still think I've not quite got the distance right between my eyes and the eyepieces. Like, I can't lean up against the eyepieces.
Right.
Because I know when you had yours, because of your glasses,
yeah,
it was like the perfect distance for you, wasn't it? Whereas I'm having to sort of hold my head just a bit away. And I don't know whether that's something I can overcome with like bigger eyepiece thing. Or,
possibly.
You know, like the spongy bits where I can buy bigger ones or not, because obviously there's light getting in when I'm not really up close, but when I'm up close it kind of blanks out. I don't know, it's weird. So I'm sure I've still got stuff to learn about it.
The other thing that might be useful is you can just pick up cheap glasses from Boots for a couple of quid or
yeah,
places like that.
A couple of pairs of them in a workshop.
Yeah,
just and I tried. They're three-step ones we've got, and they just make everything worse. So, and I just have had my eyes tested, and I don't actually still need glasses, which is quite impressive at my advancing years.
Advancing years. I know you're 16 years younger than me, so.
Oh, well, still advancing though, aren't we? We're all advancing at the same speed, David. Just started early as another.
True.
But yeah, so what else is going on for you then? Have you been looking at anybody recently? Who are you watching on Instagram right now?
Well, there's a couple of Irish jewelers who, one I've watched for a while and another one I found quite recently. The newest one I found is Nigel O'Reilly. And I don't know if you've come across him.
Nope.
He makes incredibly intricate pieces that are wonderfully delicate and set with tiny and enormous gems. So the big gems tend to be fantasy cuts. And then the actual structure of the ring tends to be then filled, kind of a variety of melee, tiny, tiny, gems.
That sounds interesting. What's a fantasy cut?
A fantasy cut is ones where they carve into the gem.
Oh, okay.
So rather than being a standard kind of cut that just to get the reflections, a fantasy cut may well be just flat or almost flat on one plane, or even kind of rounded on one plane and then cut on others. So the light goes through and just reflects through the actual cuts that are in the underside.
I've never heard that term before.
Oh, okay.
I'm not an expert with gems though, but I am getting more and more interested in them. I've just actually had some bespoke gems cut.
Okay.
Yeah, and they are so gorgeous. They are so gorgeous. I'm so excited by them.
Where did you get them cut?
I got them cut by a fabulous, now I'm going to say this wrong, lapidrist? Is that how you say it?
I think so. Or lapidarist, I don't know. Gem cutter.
Lapidrist, yes. Called Emma Barnes. I've been sort of aware of her work for some time, and I sent her some synthetic ruby.
Oh, okay.
Because I needed really big stone, and like I just haven't been able to find either garnet or rubies in the right size or the right shape. So anyway, I sourced these synthetic rubies, and they came as like big cabochons basically.
Yeah.
And they're beautiful. They're really lovely stones to start with. And then she's basically cut them into a shape and faceted them for me. They are just gorgeous. You know, when, I don't know if you get like this, David, I remember getting a bit like this when I was shopping for my engagement ring, but just like a bit overexcited by the stones.
Yes, that's why I keep buying them.
Getting a little bit like, like palpitations. It was like, oh my God, these are beautiful. And I sent her like this really gushy text message going, they are absolutely stunning. I love them. You're so clever. And she was probably thinking, who's this crazy lady? But they are like the dogs. They are absolutely amazing. So I'm really excited to work with those. I've already got a design in mind, and it's a design I've already made, but with a different thing in place instead of the gem. It's going to be like a blingier, higher end version of that piece, which I loved anyway. So
nice.
Dead excited about that.
Look forward to seeing that once it's done.
No, you will, but it'll be a wee while because I just want to get it right. You know, I'm just in that place where, but like you said, you know, you've started things and they've gone back to them and my head's kind of like with all these ideas and I feel like it's kind of bursting out of me, but I kind of need to refine it and kind of like, you know, zone in and get it right and hone it all down. And at the same time, I don't want to slow down too much because there's a lot to do. Isn't there always?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't there always?
Yeah, but absolutely. Hey. So where can we find this amazing lapidarist gem cutter? Is she on?
No, I found her on Instagram.
Oh, right.
But I was aware of her anyway. And then I think, where else did I look? At the Institute of Gemologists? Oh, goodness. I might have to get back to you on that. I think I was aware of her through Instagram initially. And then I looked at one of the big associations. And that's where I got. And I saw her there and I was like, no, she's the one. So I had spoken to a couple of other people previous, but I like it when you know, when you deal with someone and they kind of talk back. And I don't know, maybe it's just me because I'm very chatty. And maybe I sort of just beat people into submission with my endless stream of words, but I like it for people to give me advice.
Okay.
And I think sometimes you get in touch with people and they say, well, what do you want? And I don't always know exactly. I usually have a good idea of a round and about. Like, for instance, having these bespoke gems cut. I've never had gems cut before. I've always just looked for what's out there and bought that. So this is a new experience for me. So I don't really know what's possible because I'm not a gem cutter. And I'm not even, you know, an expert in gems themselves. I mean, it's like a whole other world, isn't it? When you dip your
completely.
Toe in it, you realize that, you know, you might know a bit about this and a bit about that, but it's like there is this massive, like everything in jewelry, like everything in life, there's always like layers and layers and layers of knowledge. So, you know, if I go to somebody and say, I want to get a gem cut, and I knew the shape and I knew the size, but I was kind of looking for some feedback of like, well, you could do this or you could do that, or we could have this many facets or we could have that many facets, or we could make it look like this or we could make it look like that. I was looking to have a conversation of everybody that I'd contacted. She was the one that engaged. So for me, that's winner chicken dinner. Because
yeah, absolutely.
I want to learn from her experience. I don't always necessarily think, you know, sometimes you go to someone and say, well, what do you want? And I'm like, well, I kind of want this, but I want for you to tell me what's going to be the best solution for the outcome that I want to
do. Yeah, you want their expertise to actually guide it in the end. Yeah,
and some people just don't do that. And I just think, oh, come on, just give me something, you know, give me something back.
Yeah.
So she's that person. So that's amazing. And she's called Emma. So obviously she's got to be amazing, hasn't she?
What's her name?
Emma Barnes.
Emma Barnes. Okay, I should look it up. The one you should look up is, as well as Nigel O'Reilly, is for gems, look up Munsteiner. Tom Munsteiner. Munsteiner make the most amazing fantasy cut gems. They are just completely bonkers.
And
really inspirational. I mean, they are the kind of things that, you know, you pay a lot of money for because they are A, top quality gems, and B, usually huge and beautifully, beautifully cut. But it give you a real idea of what kind of fantasy cuts are like. Okay.
Yeah. Serious danger of falling down a rabbit hole with all of that, though, isn't there? Sometimes I have to pull myself back. Go, you know, stop looking. And start making.
And stop spending. Yes, I know.
Yeah, stop spending. Yeah. I know. God, I know. I've spent so much money recently on so many things. I'm just feel like I'm hemorrhaging cash. But, you know, you've kind of, you know, what's the saying? You've got to invest. Yeah. Oh, David, help me. got to, you know, you've got to put it in to get it back out.
So. Absolutely. Yeah. You have to invest in yourself, and that might be you personally and time off or whatever it might be, a new bit of kit.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Still got to pay that mortgage though, mate.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So we've just started our last term in the jewelry school.
Right.
Before we break for the summer. So we will be hoping that over the summer breaks, when we'll move the studio over or expand the studio, really. So fingers crossed, when we come back in September, we'll be able to seat 16
Fantastic.
Students. So at the moment we can seat 8, but it's cozy with 8. So with the new space and the current space, we're going to have more than double the floor space. So we're going to have more than one tutor. So at the moment we have one tutor and 8 students, which is comfortable and doable, but I think any more than the 8, you're going to need 2 tutors. So we'll have like 2 tutors in each class and 16 students, hopefully, if I can sell them. I need to sell the spaces because I need to pay for all these bloody gems.
I will come up and do some teaching with you. There you go.
Do it. Come up and do some teaching and we can go for dinner and spend all our money again.
That's it.
Drink nice wine.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So what's been going on with you and Krish recently? Is he in the country again or is he away?
He is here at the moment. He spent a lot of time away at the end of April through to the end of May. He was in New York in the end of April for work and then pleasure. We were then in Iceland for his birthday. And then talking about medicine walks earlier, he went on a retreat in Dartmoor at the end of May as well. Mm-hmm. So he was away for 9 days, 5 days out on the moor by himself.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
4 days in group, two at beginning, two at the end. Yeah, he came back pleased that he'd done it. He wasn't sure that he'd enjoyed it, but it wasn't meant to be enjoyable type of thing. It was meant to be an experience from which you learn. And he felt in that case, yes, he had. It was definitely worth it. And in some ways, it kind of inspired him to think that the idea of wild camping, he really likes as well. And this was a kind of a version of that. Yes, it's not your motorhome.
No,
this is a tarpaulin and the English weather.
Yes, no, I camp with central heating. Yeah. I feel cold really badly. So camping's never really been my thing. I mean, we did a bit when we were kids, you know, and so I grew up somewhere really rural. So I had friends that were farmers. So
okay.
We used to go and sleep out and stuff. And, you know, it was all fun and game then. But we've been away in our van. So we have a motorhome. And we toodled it up to Edinburgh because the kids have just had a week off. It's just been half term.
Yeah.
So we toddled up there to Edinburgh for a long weekend, and I took my sisters out because they turned 40 in lockdown in Scotland when they would not even let people from England cross the border.
Yes.
So we weren't even able to like have a cocktail or go for dinner or even sit in a house or even sit 2 meters apart or anything for their 40th birthday. My sisters are twins, so double celebration.
Mm.
So I took them to see Catherine Ryan.
Oh yes.
For their 40th birthday present, which was like 2 years late. We had such a good night. I mean, they were actually recording the show. It was a comedy special. So it was brilliant. I had actually seen it before. I went to see it when she was down here at the beginning. And it was amazing to see that the show itself had evolved. And she was just amazing. She was terrific. I just love her. Brilliantly funny and fiercely intelligent and just great. It was the perfect girls' night out. But afterwards, we went off to this bar. One of my sisters said, we've got to go here. And she like tramped us across town, which my other sister was not very happy about because she had these shoes on. She could barely walk. So she tramped us across town. And I was thinking, this better be good, this bloody bar. Anyway, it was amazing.
Excellent.
So we walked in and everyone was on the tables, right?
Okay.
So there was like a big bar in front of you, and above the bar was like a mezzanine level with like 2 chaps playing a saxophone and a trumpet. So there was like live music, and on the tables were these girls dressed in like, I don't know, they had like wigs on and hats and like grass skirts. And at first I thought they were Smurfs, right? That's showing my age. But they weren't Smurfs. They weren't blue. That should have been a clue.
Maybe.
I think they were trolls. You know, trolls.
Okay.
In the movie. This probably doesn't feature in your life, David, having not, you know, got the small people around you that I do. But they were definitely like
the
some
little plastic
kind of like
trolls with the long hair.
Yeah, well, there's a film. There's a cartoon and stuff. There's a film. Yeah, so they had like crazy hair, and it was just really wacky and like a bit off the wall. And I you know, kind of liked that. So there was this fabulous kind of drag artist walking around as well, who was dressed as like an Arctic fox in like a pearl beaded leotard with a huge, big, fluffy white tail and that massive, big, beautiful blonde wig. And he was just fabulous. It was ace. So it was just a really great atmosphere. And we did get accosted by a very, very drunk girl, my sister and I, which was quite funny. She just seemed determined to talk to us. Made me feel really sober and very grown up. And we weren't that sober. We had been drinking all night, but in comparison to her, you know, we were really sober. So we had a great night. But my sisters had a wee bit of a fallout, actually.
Right.
Because they have this habit of dressing the same. Now, they are identical twins, and they have done this since they were small children.
Right.
Sometimes intentionally and sometimes not so. And they rocked up looking like they'd shared a suit between them. So Caroline had on this hot pink jacket.
Yeah.
She looked amazing. She had on like tight black pants. I think were they like pleather or whatever? I'm not sure. Anyway, tight black pants and a t-shirt that she customized. She'd like cut the neck of it. And you know, my sisters are really into fashion. They're way more trendy and gorgeous than I am. And she had on this like hot pink jacket on the top. Claire rocked up with trousers on exactly the same color. And the rest of her black, so they looked like they'd kind of like bought one suit and they'd shared it. And I think it's kind of cute because but Caroline was really unamused because she'd actually sent us all a picture of what she was planning on wearing. So to her mind, Claire should not have worn those trousers, but Claire did wear those trousers. But Claire thought it was great because she quite liked that they looked a bit the same. But Caroline was really pissed off. she got a bit nostril flary about that at one point.
Oh well, never mind.
But it was good. Wait, no, they are so similar. It is a spooky thing with twins. I mean, definitely. They do it a lot. They both have daughters that are a similar age, and they quite often turn up to family events and they've dressed their daughters the same as well. So like it is definitely a thing, and I'm just the odd man out. And I had on this really fabulous outfit, which I thought, well, I don't get out much, David, do you know what I mean? So I just thought I gotta go for it. So I wore these, they're like skin tight kind of trousers that but they just flare out a bit at the bottom,
right?
And they're sequined leopard print. really understated,
of course, just like you.
Yeah, exactly. On the top, I had on like a glittery t-shirt with a sequin tux jacket on the top. So I was literally dressed like a glitter ball from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. I had sparkly socks on and everything. I was literally like, I am sparkles from here to here.
You need a photo of that.
Nobody looked at me all night because I was with the matching twins. Welcome to my world.
Oh, so sad. Well, listen, we're kind of running out of time. So final thing, is there anything you think that people should go see at the moment, jewellery-wise?
Well, I mean, I haven't really been out and about that much. I did get a quick trip into London. That sounds really fancy now, don't I? But I'm really trying to make that little bit of time for myself to do things that are not stupid. So I went and met a friend, and I went to that Goldsmith exhibition that I think you went to as well, eh?
Yes.
In Goldsmith Centre. Although I did make the mistake of going to Goldsmith's Hall, and got there and thought, it's not here. It's at the Goldsmith Centre, which was back near King's Cross, which was where I'd gone into in the first place. Idiot. So I went back. Anyway, I found it. So that was fab. It was only quite a small exhibition, but that was lovely.
Of the apprentice work.
Yeah, stunning. I mean, that cufflink box.
Yes.
That blew my mind. So that was great. So I had a wee look at that. And I also went to the V&A, because I always go to the V&A, and saw this really fabulous pin that was like a skull.
Okay.
And I had noticed it before on a previous visit, but I actually proper scrutinized it this time. And I noticed it said that the eyes, it actually attaches to a battery that you can wear inside your pocket. And when it's attached, the eyes light up and they spin inside the skull and the jaw chatters. And I was like, I'm loving that. I need that in my life. So yeah, so those are the things I've kind of seen recently. So if you go to the V&A, go and find the skull Go and find a sculpin.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. It's like there's so much there. It's like every time you can't take it all in one go. So every time I go, I see something different. And we also just like traipsed around all the, you know, we traipsed around all the high-end shops where I was drooling over other people's jewelry, but you know, not able to purchase anything.
Next time. Next time.
Next time. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I went to Desire last week, which is the jewellery fair down in Chelsea. It happens.
Yeah.
So normally it's in March, but it was delayed till May. And that was really interesting. It was nice to see some of the jewellers I know, at least for new work by people I don't know. Apparently it was very quiet, not many people through.
No, that's a shame.
But next week, or actually this week, tomorrow I'm going to Cockpit Arts in London. So Cockpit Arts, there's two sites. There's one in kind of Bloomsbury area, one in Deptford. And Bloomsbury is open this weekend, Friday onwards. So I'm going to go there and see some people. Just go and see, because Cockpit Arts is a variety of different creatives. It's not just jewellery. And then the following, it's definitely worth it. The following Friday, I shall go down to Deptford because there are some jewellers in particular I want to see down there. But then next Tuesday, I'm going to the Tiffany exhibition in London.
Oh, nice.
Which is absolutely free to go. It starts this week and runs for about a month. You have to download their app and you can
book. Where is it, David?
I think it's the Saatchi Gallery off the top of my head.
Oh, okay. I'm
pretty sure that's where it is. Let me see if I can find out.
That'll be amazing.
The exhibition is called Vision and Virtuosity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's at the Saatchi, but thankfully it doesn't tell you. But it's in London.
Yes. Don't do what I did. Somewhere that sounds sort of similar and hope for the best.
No, actually, exactly.
That's always the key.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, it was lovely to meet you, David.
You too.
I better go back to my polishing.
Okay. Enjoy with your twiglet or whatever it was you were using.
My twiglet. It's not a twiglet. It's a cocktail stick.
Oh, cocktail stick. I knew it was something to do with food or drink in it.
Not a twiglet, and it doesn't have an olive on the end.
Oh, bugger, you're not using the right thing then, clearly.
Damn a blast.
Yeah, right, you're dipping the olive in your cocktail and then do a bit of polishing with the other end.
I know. No, it's an unused cocktail stick. It's just perfectly my pendant drill. It's a wonderful thing.
Brilliant.
Top tip. That's my top tip.
Okay,
episode.
We'll take that one away and use it. Yes. We'll ask for feedback on that one.
All right, darling, speak to you soon.
See you soon. Bye
bye.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode and come back to us in another couple of weeks for the next one. In the meantime, also thanks to Alfie Amadeus for the amazing track, Optopi, which is our theme music. See you soon. Bye-bye.